It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to The Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome back to The Herd. Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd. He is finishing up his vacation. He will be back on Monday. I don't think that's a show you will want to miss.
No.
Alex Curry will be with him.
I will be here.
I am heading on vacation later, and I will be out next week, but Alex Curry will be in with Colin next week. It's been a wild week. I anticipate next week will also be a wild week, as we are now on Kevin Durant watch, as he has requested a trade from the Brooklyn Nets. I ironically was saying all week I hadn't allowed my mind to travel to a place of what if, where KD would go, because I hadn't gotten to the place of what if KD was going to leave. And Kyrie opting in seemed like an indication that they were going to run it back, but we now know not the case. So there's been some reports. Windhorse reported that the Lakers have a package, that they are in discussions with the Nets to acquire both Kevin Durant and Kyrie. There are reports that they are only going to be able to acquire Kyrie, and they're trying to do that. Obviously, the Lakers are not a team that has a lot of assets to put out there. And Brooklyn, at least in regards to Kevin Durant, has a lot of leverage because he has a four-year deal with no player option and no team option. And I think this will... Well, who knows? Here I am about to say Kevin Durant's going to spend the rest of his career wherever he ends up. I don't know. I think he should do that, so I guess I'm projecting. But let's talk about the teams that A, can possibly get Kevin Durant, and where I think he should end up going. Now, if you guessed, knowing me, obviously, the Heat is the number one destination for me for Kevin Durant. Now, obviously, I would love to see Kevin Durant go to the Miami Heat because I'm selfish and I would be insufferable if this happens.
Big surprise.
Insufferable. If you think you hate me now, forget it. Forget it. Unfollow me on everything. You're going to hate me. But I also think this would make sense. And I don't just think that. There's reports that he wants to go to the Heat or the Suns. Now, trades. How would this work? They have assets. Kyle Lowry, Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, Victor Oladipo, and the first round pick, Nikola Jovic. Not Jokic. You can't trade Bam Adebayo. It can kind of happen. Would need a third team in order to do it, but he's likely off limits, and so is Jimmy Butler. So they are the plus 300 favorites to land Kevin Durant, according to Fox Bet. They can also offer up to three future first round picks, which would likely be included in this. And they have the greatest negotiator in NBA history, the godfather, Pat Riley. The other part of this that I think would be great for Kevin Durant outside of the city of Miami, which is a wonderful place to live, is they have a standard. They have a culture. They have one. They were one Jimmy Butler three away from going back to the finals. So this is not a situation where it's a bunch of players thrown together. They don't have a history of being able to make things work, elevate stars. Clearly the Big Three is the best example of that. So this would be a great destination for Kevin Durant. Number two is the Suns. This is the other team that he is reportedly interested in going to. Now, they have some trade assets as well. DeAndre Ayton, it would require a sign and trade. Mikal Bridges, Cameron Johnson, Jay Crowder, and Dario Saric. Now, Devin Booker and Chris Paul are likely off limits. Also, you can't move Devin Booker because he signed a four-year, $214 million Supermax extension yesterday. So he's not going anywhere. But obviously, you would want Booker there if you're going to bring in Kevin Durant. Now, the issue here with these trades, obviously, is you don't want to give up all of your depth. You don't want to completely empty your bench. You want to be able to have some pieces around. The Suns have been building momentum and culture. They still don't have an owner that is entirely functional, but to his credit, he's been staying away. He's been letting Monty Williams do his thing. So I don't love this destination, but I do think they would be able to build on what they've already established there in Phoenix, and he would be able to elevate that organization. Now, number three, Mavs. I really, really love, if he doesn't end up at these first two destinations, I really love the Mavs for Kevin Durant. Now, they have trade assets in Spencer Dinwiddie, Tim Hardaway Jr., JaVale McGee, Davis Bertans, and Dwight Powell. Obviously, Luka's not going anywhere, and not Christian Wood isn't either. They can also offer up to three future first-round picks. The Mavs are building something. It's very exciting. Now, Luka and KD, how do they play together? I don't know. KD obviously adds a bit of more of a defensive element than Luka does. I don't know if that usage fits, but it would be very exciting and very interesting. Now, we saw a little tease of this this week in the Blazers with Damian Lillard. So Dame would love to have KD there. He would love to make this work. They have a few options. Shaedon Sharpe, their first round pick, Eric Bledsoe, and Anfernee Simmons. That would also require a sign and trade. They can offer up to three future first round picks. I don't love this destination for KD, but playing alongside Damian Lillard and giving Damian Lillard an opportunity to win a championship, I do love. So that part is very interesting. The next 4 years with Dame and KD, that would be something. Portland is a place that does have a good culture. They are very well run. So I don't love it, but this would work. And then lastly, the Warriors. Now, the thing about the Warriors is they really actually have a bunch of trade assets to make this work. They can offer up to three future first round picks, and they have a bunch of trade assets. Now, would they do this? Would KD want to go back there? It would be anarchy, but I don't see this happening. I'm not against it, though. It's really hard to get me upset these days. I'm going on vacation soon.
But we love
anarchy. I'm not against it.
You love anarchy.
Well, I just, you know, I whenever these moves start to be put out there, I like to imagine what the stories would be, right? What's the media going to say? What are the writers going to say? What is my opinion going to be? Mm-hmm. I like to see things play out, right? Like, obviously, we make projections, we make predictions, and we give our initial response to things. But I also like to see what happens. And I wonder what the fans' reaction would be.
Well, fans are never going to be happy. A, you're losing a player that you love, or new team.
No, not new Brooklyn Nets fans. Warriors fans, I wonder what their reaction would be. And fans around the NBA about him going back to a situation that they didn't think he should go to in the first place. Let's ask Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer, NBA analyst. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on.
Happy NBA free agency.
I am fired up. It's been a fun last 24-ish hours or so. Yeah, it's going to get even more fun with all the stuff we still have lingering here.
Well, let's start with what I was just discussing in a possible return to the Warriors. I don't think it's going to happen, but they do have the assets to make it happen. Is that one that is completely off the board?
I'd probably take the Warriors off the board. I don't see them getting back together anytime soon, but I think those other four teams you had on your list all very interesting, though.
So let's talk about my Heat then. I have them at number one, but I also, outside of very much wanting this to happen, I do think that is the best destination for him.
Yeah, I think with Miami, it's a little complicated in that situation. They have picks they can give. Bam Adebayo would be a great piece for Brooklyn to acquire. The problem is that they can't acquire Bam unless they move Ben Simmons because of some NBA cap rules involving rookie max extension. So Miami makes a lot of sense. They should go all in for Kevin Durant, but there's some complications with getting him there.
What about the Suns?
So with Phoenix, it's pretty clear cut. You could do a sign and trade involving Ayton. For Kevin Durant, you could send Mikal Bridges in a separate deal for maybe a Joe Harris, in addition to future draft picks from the first round pick swaps, which is basically going to be the format for any team here. Like, I think that Phoenix offer, though, Bridges and Ayton, that's really good. But if Boston wanted to offer a Jaylen Brown, if a team like that really wanted to step up, if New Orleans wanted to give a Brandon Ingram with a whole bunch of draft picks, a team like the Suns, their offer would end up getting beat here. So I think they make a lot of sense. They should be at the top of the list, but they can be surpassed in terms of the best offer.
But Kevin, how much leverage does Kevin Durant have here? Because like, I can't picture him playing in Boston. He's friends with Kyrie. Kyrie is not on good terms with Boston. I can't imagine him, you know, going to Boston. But he does have 4 years left on his deal. So how much leverage does Kevin Durant actually have in saying where he wants to go?
I mean, this is the crazy part about it all, because KD demanding a trade with 4 years left, on one hand, any of the 29 other teams could make an acceptable offer to Brooklyn for him. And Brooklyn has the right to say yes or no. They could drag this into the season if they really wanted to wait for better offers. They could maybe Kevin Durant decides, you know what, I want to stay here. If the only team that's willing to make an acceptable offer is, as you're saying, a team he doesn't want to go to. Whether that's a Boston or whether it's a team like Oklahoma City, for that matter, if they wanted to get a reunion together. We're talking Golden State reunions if they did. So there's some leverage here for KD, but ultimately Brooklyn can trade him wherever they want to. It's just a matter of if those offers come that they deem worth doing.
What do you make of the notion of KD and Kyrie going somewhere together?
That gets complicated. I mean, as has been widely reported, the Lakers seem to be the only team with any real interest in Kevin Durant. The problem is if you're trading for Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, what's the best you can do? You can do Russell Westbrook with Anthony Davis, a 27 and a 29 first. That's probably the maximum offer the Lakers can put together before you get to the Austin Reeves of the world being included as trade assets. And I like we just said with the Suns, if their offer could be beat by somebody else, then I would imagine a Lakers offer for both Kyrie and Kevin Durant could be defeated as well.
Yeah. We're talking to Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer. Are you surprised? I don't know if surprise is the right word, but all week long I've been talking about how I hadn't allowed myself to imagine where KD could end up because I didn't think he was going to leave. So I'm not surprised by this because it's Kevin Durant. He's a bit of a rolling stone. But, you know, I didn't see this coming. Did you?
A little bit. I mean, it seemed like there's a lot of, you know, breadcrumbs about the possibility of this. But the fact he actually went ahead and did it, I mean, maybe it wasn't surprise that I felt as much as still shock because it actually happened and that we're actually in a position where a guy who joined the Nets with Kyrie Irving and got James Harden are now in this position where they don't have Harden. They have Ben Simmons, who does not play. And now they're in a spot where after Kyrie opts in, he still wants out. The fact we're actually at this point after everything that's transpired and how close they were to beating the Bucks, how little Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving actually played together, it blows my mind that they were actually here. And it goes to show that with the NBA, you have to expect the unexpected. You have to. It's happened time and time again. So in some ways, maybe we shouldn't be surprised or shocked by any of it.
How much do you put on Brooklyn? Because there were reports that KD wasn't happy with how the front office tried to understand Kyrie. Now, I don't understand Kyrie. I don't know how many people do understand Kyrie, but I would also lend to the idea that if you're going to bring in a player like Kyrie, you're going to have to try to understand Kyrie. So that with then flip-flopping on letting him play, you know, allowing him to do practices after after Steve Nash's practice. I mean, we've heard lots of really uncharacteristic things coming out of Brooklyn, uncharacteristic of a good culture, well-run organization. How much do you put on Brooklyn in this situation?
I mean, I'm sure they deserve some percentage of the blame. No one person or entity is not at fault here. Kevin Durant included, by attaching himself to Kyrie Irving, insisting on DeAndre Jordan be part of the players that they signed in the first place, taking away minutes from a young grid center in Jared Allen, who now is a $100 million player with the Cavaliers. So mistakes have been made by everybody every step of the way, including the front office, the organization. But ultimately, this comes down to Kyrie Irving, him playing half the games last year after not getting vaccinated. Obviously, that's his choice to do that, but the detriment to the team and the chemistry that they had last year, 1 year after being so close against the Bucks. Harden understandably wanted to leave, wanted to get out of there. Kevin Durant now in a spot where you kind of get it. I mean, I understand, you know, maybe at this point he realizes the mistake that was made and it's time for him to jump ship and get to a situation where in the middle of his 30s, after he's ruptured an Achilles, he knows time is running out. So for him, he's in a spot with Brooklyn now. I wonder if this actually has nothing to do with the front office, nothing to do with Kyrie, and only to do with the fact that, hey, there's better situations out there for me to win. I wonder if that's what Kevin Durant's thinking here, because there are, and there are teams that will make acceptable offers.
Are you surprised with the Zion Pelicans extension?
No, I'm not surprised there. I from what I understand, they have trust in him to be able to stay healthy and get it right. I think the Pelicans winning games this past year under Willie Green has helped really start to begin shaping that culture that now Zion Williamson is going to grow and be part of. Like, they are really good. I mean, with Zion, if he stays healthy and is anywhere close to the guy we saw when he was last on the floor, 30 points per game, 6 assists, just an excellent two-way presence, they're going to be a team that could be a sleeper to make a deep run in the playoffs next year with him added to that great roster we saw last year.
Can you say something nice about the Knicks, Kevin O'Connor?
I mean, yeah, sure. Jalen Brunson is their best point guard they've had probably since 6 weeks of Jeremy Lin Sanity. It's going to be excellent for them to have Brunson. He's a stabilizer, somebody who can make RJ Barrett make their life easier, those young guys in that Knicks team. I like the signing personally. I think it's gotten way too much criticism. He's a good basketball player.
Well, I mean, the criticism is probably more because nobody trusts anything the Knicks do, which,
yeah,
you know, it has been earned. We're talking to Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer. What was your reaction to Nikola Jokic's contract, $264 million Supermax extension, 5 years, the richest agreement in NBA history, is back-to-back MVP. I don't get crazy about the money. It's what the market is. It goes up. It's not, I'm not paying him. It's not changing my life. But what was your reaction to that deal?
Well, I mean, my reaction is, how is it that this guy who was drafted during a Taco Bell commercial is now
getting paid? It's my favorite draft moment of all time.
Isn't it the best that this guy is a two-time MVP that's going to be a future Hall of Famer is drafted during a Taco Bell commercial? It blows my mind that this is his story. For the Nuggets now, I mean, I guess my first thought with it was, well, what's next? What are they going to do here? They signed Bruce Brown in free agency, really good fit next to Jokic. Those guys are going to have great chemistry together. But Michael Porter Jr. needs to prove he can get back to being the guy he was before. And Jamal Murray, following the torn ACL that he had, he needs to be a better version of the guy we saw prior, more consistent. So for the Nuggets, they have this megastar, future Hall of Famer, who rightfully is getting paid this money. But they need a lot else to change around him to win a championship.
Has he ever had a real Taco Bell commercial?
I don't know, but that should happen.
I feel like Taco Bell is missing the boat on that. Like,
that doesn't seem like an easy. That's an easy sponsorship dub for Jokic and the Taco Bell side. I'm not sure Jokic wants to do anything though. He doesn't. No commercials. No interviews.
I mean, that feels like a no-brainer, man. Like, you get a Taco Bell for life card, and that seems like that's an easy easy pitch in the advertising room. So what should the Lakers do? We talked earlier about, you know, the possibility of them trying to get KD and Kyrie, which, you know, feels like a big stretch to me. But we've heard the Kyrie thing a lot over the past couple weeks. So does Kyrie fit here? If they make this move, does it make any sense? Like, obviously, we've seen Kyrie and LeBron together and they won a championship, but that was 6 years ago.
I think they should be going for Kyrie Irving here. I mean, look, Kyrie, say what you want about, you know, off court, personality, everything else. He's a better player than Russell Westbrook. And the Lakers have, anytime you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis on your roster, you need to be doing what you can to maximize the time you have with those guys. And so Kyrie Irving is an upgrade over Russ. If they're giving up one of their future first-round draft picks to get Irving, I'd be all over that. If I'm the Lakers, as long as the Nets were willing to do that deal, they might not want to take the Russ contract. They might be looking for a three-way, which complicates things. But ultimately, the Lakers should be going for Kyrie Irving and going hard at him.
What do you make of the James Harden negotiations that he's going to be flexible with them and leave some money on the table?
I mean, it's interesting there because they bring back some guys from the Rockets, PJ Tucker and Daniel House, with Harden. Shorter term deal. If it's a 3 year deal, he'll still be able to sign a, you know, potential max if he makes the most of this next, you know, 2-3 years. I'm buying Harden stock, Joy, because I think with him, last year did not go well. He comes into camp out of shape. He never gets in great shape. He's injured with the hamstring. This summer for him, this is the summer to prove it. When you're playing with Joel Embiid, Harden doesn't need to be the best player on that team anymore. He just needs to be a consistent, great third option when Maxey's on. And then other times he can be the number two behind Embiid. He's in a situation now where he doesn't have to be the alpha, the guy averaging 35 points per game. So I look forward to seeing Harden adapt and evolve his game with Embiid and Maxey. But all he really just needs to do is stay in shape. That might be a lot to ask, you know, but for James Harden, that's the number one objective here next to Embiid and Maxey. I think it can work. I really do.
Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer. So where does KD end up? What does your gut tell you?
Let's go with Phoenix. They're currently the betting odds favorite. I think they can put together the best combination of young players and picks, at least the teams that would be willing to. And they're the team that is at the top of KD's list. So that's more incentive for them to go all the way in rather than other teams and who might have to worry about him doing this again in a year.
Well, it's the summer of Kevin Durant and Beyonce. That's what we've dubbed it this year on The Herd. Thank you so much for joining us, Kevin O'Connor of The Ring. I really appreciate it. Have a great holiday weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd all week as he has been on vacation. He will be back from holiday on Monday, going, I'm sure he's going to go off. He has lots of takes that he needs to get in, especially with this USC UCLA news, Kevin Durant. I'm sure he's going to have some thoughts on Zion, so you don't miss that show on Monday. We'll talk to Matt Leinart in studio later in the show, big noon kickoff, former NFL quarterback, and of course, USC star, about what he thinks about them leaving the Pac-12, and get to Alex Curry with the news on the other side and discuss why culture is so important when it comes to bringing in stars. It's Joy Taylor on The Herd.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. the perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on Storybutton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the first ever USFL championship game live from the Pro Football Hall of Fame Stadium in Canton. The Birmingham Stallions and Philadelphia Stars go head-to-head in a quest to take home the historic first title Sunday at 7:30 Eastern on Fox.
Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd. Thank you so much for joining us this week. It's been a fun, crazy week. Ending, of course, with the USFL championship on Sunday on Fox, 7:30 Eastern. Thank you so much to Kevin O'Connor. Great updates on NBA free agency. A lot going on right now. Let's get to Alex Curry with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, let's keep talking about this beautiful chaos that is the NBA offseason, because the Nets' former superstar team continues to fall apart after Kevin Durant requested a trade yesterday. And with that huge news, it's apparent that Kyrie Irving will most likely play with another team next season. Will that be the Lakers? We'll see. But LA has reengaged with Brooklyn on trade talks centered around Kyrie and Russell Westbrook. And here's Woj on where things stand with the Nets.
Everybody's in play in Brooklyn, certainly. And I think it's very likely that not only Kevin Durant, but Kyrie Irving have played their last games for the Nets. They've wanted to play together. They want to continue to play together. But the sense is they don't want to do it together in Brooklyn anymore.
That was the final kicker that we got yesterday. It was like, they still want to play together. They just don't want to do it in Brooklyn. Now, I don't personally see it happening, them playing somewhere else. That's a big package deal that a lot of teams can't necessarily make. You're going to have to basically give away everything just to get them. And remember, both KD and Kyrie are in the win now part of their careers. They want to win now. KD deserves to win now. But it didn't work out in Brooklyn. I just say, cut your losses, move on. Separate, find a new team, let's go. So let's talk about the Lakers angle here, right? For Kyrie, I see it working because LeBron, again, one of the few people that knows how to play with Kyrie. He's won a championship with Kyrie. I think he can be a person who can rein him in and make it work there. But again, the Lakers are also in a win now situation. You have LeBron, you have AD. They have to figure, LA has to figure out a way. You're relevant with LeBron, obviously. But last year was a dumpster fire. It all like happened right in front of our eyes.
Well, I mean, there's a couple things going on here. From the Kevin Durant angle, I don't see KD and Kyrie playing together again. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how much, for all the reports that they want to play together again, that's true. Because Brooklyn essentially did everything that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving asked.
Literally
outside
them the
of giving Kyrie a multi-year deal this year, which no one wanted to do.
Mm-mm.
So unless they're just both living in some fantasy world where, you know, that's Brooklyn's fault. It ain't. It's Kyrie's fault. And the rest of the league said the same. So with the Lakers being the only team that's interested, it's because of LeBron James.
Yeah.
Now, would it work? In theory, Kyrie, LeBron, AD, sure. If everyone's healthy and everyone's available and everyone shows up to work. But you have the rest of the team as well. You have to have some depth. I mean, you saw in the championship, in the finals this year, a huge part of what happened in that finals was the bench scoring with the Warriors. You can't just have a no depth. Stars are going to do what stars do if they're available.
Yeah.
Where's the depth? Who are the role players that are going to step up? That's the issue with the Lakers.
Yep.
So do I think that the three of them work? Sure. I think it works better than Russell Westbrook. Kyrie's a better player than Russell Westbrook when he's on the floor. Russell Westbrook plays basketball, though. Like, he's on the floor.
Yeah, that's kind of a big deal. You gotta be there. You gotta show up to work. You gotta play the game. So, yeah, it's gonna be, like you said, it's the summer of KD. We are on KD watch for the rest of the summer. And also now, Kyrie. Because regardless of your feelings and his situation last year, he's still a great player. So
no, he is a great player, but his market is not what he thinks it is.
No,
because
not
he
at all.
Has shown time and time again that he's not reliable.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Lakers, grab him. Go for it. All right, let's talk about the other big news. Yesterday, in a shocking move, Pac-12 flagship members, USC and UCLA, decided to leave the conference for the Big Ten. Now, starting in the 2024 season, the move will include all sports except beach volleyball, men's volleyball, and men and women's water polo. It's also expected to enhance the NIL opportunity with greater exposure across the country. But the Big Ten isn't stopping there. As Adam Rittenberg reports, lots of talk about additional Pac-12 schools possibly being on the Big Ten's radar, not ruling that out. But one school they want, the one they've been always wanting, is Notre Dame. That's where the energy will likely be placed. But this was a huge power move by the two power schools in that conference yesterday. And again, a lot of big business decisions are usually based around money. This one as well, based around money. You mentioned it earlier. The Pac-12 kind of lagged in their distributions. They distributed $334 million amongst its schools in the 2021 year. Big Ten handed out $680 million. So if you don't listen to your all-stars that you have in your little circle, in your little group, you can't be mad when they decide to leave. I know it's not the normal thing. This is a very new thing that
we're
seeing.
Well, it's not that the Pac-12
college
was like hoarding money. They just weren't generating the money.
No.
So, you know, what can you, it's not so much about listening. I mean, there were some issues within the Pac-12, but it's about what are the opportunities for UCLA and USC in the Pac-12 as compared to the Big Ten. That's where the money comes into play. The Big Ten is a massive revenue generator, just like the SEC. And you're going to see more and more of this within college football. No one likes to talk about money. It's very icky. Like, we don't want to talk about money.
But that's what
what makes the world go round.
Yeah.
And that's a part of what this is. Money provides opportunities. Opportunities provides visibility. Visibility provides more opportunities. Like, it's a ladder of things that you're going to offer to your student athletes. Now, it's not obviously just about college football. As you mentioned, all the other sports minus volleyball, beach volleyball, and water polo are joining the Big Ten Conference. I do think other schools will do this as well. It is unfortunate that we're going to see more of a separation between the haves and have-nots in college sports. But my argument with that would be what it's always been, which is they've never been close.
Mm-mm.
You're not going to jump from a small school to a massive school. You're not going to jump from a perennial blue blood, you're not, from no one to that. That's not how this works. Can you have moments? Can you have blips where you're able to put things together and have a star that emerges? Sure. But that's the argument with NIL is like, oh, the little schools won't be able to compete. They were never able to compete. They were never able to compete. That was never the situation. That, like, when you look at these top recruits, look at the schools that are in their final selection.
Mm-hmm.
You're not seeing a lot of Panera Bread State in there. It's a lot of LSU. It's a lot of Ole Miss. It's a lot of Alabama. It's a lot of Georgia. Okay. There's a reason for that. A lot of Clemson, a lot of Miami, a lot of USC. Those are traditional powerhouses. They weren't throwing those extra little schools like, oh, well, you know, that's a really good pitch. Yeah. No, they were never in the running to begin with. So I get it. It does make a big separation. It's a big change. Mm-hmm. I do think that for the next couple years, college sports in general is just going to be a little rocky. There's going to be a lot of changes, a lot of sweeping over corrections, and people are going to continue to freak out about NIL, which until everyone just calms down a little bit and has real conversations about it, this is what it's going
to
be.
People forget about everything. But you mentioned the visibility, and I think another big thing to note is when you're on the West Coast, the later coast, as we were talking about, when you're playing games, they have a later start time. So by the time you're at halftime or third quarter, fourth quarter on the East Coast, middle of America, everyone's asleep. No one's getting to watch you. So now they're going to get also better time slots for their games.
No,
which
the matchups are going to be incredible.
It's going to be incredible. Now we're going to get new rivalries. Everyone loves a good rivalry. I'm excited for this. As an LA native, I had family that went to both UCLA and USC. I love it. Let's go. Let's have some excitement.
Well, it's
let's
great
have
for USC new, and UCLA. I get it from the other schools why they would be frustrated and why this could make things difficult for them.
Yeah.
And the visibility that they're going to lose from not playing USC and UCLA. But this is how it goes. When you're a big dog, you have the opportunity to make, you know, changes like this. You have
big
to do
moves. It. Yeah. You got to do it. All right. Well, the USFL's first ever season comes down to Sunday's championship game between the Philadelphia Stars and the Birmingham Stallions. After a 10-week regular season in Birmingham, the semifinals and Sunday's championship game were moved to the Pro Football Hall of Fame Stadium in Canton, Ohio. Now, the Stallions have seemed to be the team to beat all season after starting 8-0. But they'll be going against a Stars team that has led the league in scoring at 26.2 points per game. The Stallions and Stars met once during the regular season and week 5. The Stallions won 30-17. I'm going to go out on a limb here. Can I pick a team? Should we pick a team? I'm
going
to pick.
I'm going with the Stallions. They're the first team that will finish the only team that will finish the USFL with 10 plus wins.
Yeah.
They, as you mentioned, beat the Stars. The Stars allowed a season high 30 points in their week 5 loss to the Stallions. The Stallions have had a lot of consistency and been great all season long. I love that this was seen all the way through, and I think it was a great product. Visually,
great
we talked to Brock Heward about it, all the different angles. I want to see them use the helmet cam in the NFL.
Please.
I think that'd be a great extra, just an extra look. You know, not every play. You know, we need our traditional, you know, down and distance shots. But, you know, to mix some things in, the drone shots were amazing as well. And overall, I love the opportunities that it gives these players. And the championship will be 7:30 Eastern Sunday on Fox, Birmingham Stallions and Philadelphia Stars. That's Alex Curry with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
If Brooklyn really had a culture, I don't know that they'd be in this situation. We'll talk about that next on The Herd. Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was! And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on StoryButton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Bet Super 6 is giving baseball fans a free chance to win $10,000 of Big Papi's money. Scan the QR code, download the Super 6 app, and enter your picks into the MLB contest for your free shot at the jackpot.
Welcome back to The Herd. Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd all week. He is back from his vacation on Monday. I'm heading off on mine. Alex just got back from hers. It is that time of year. It's also the time of year for chaos in the NBA. Free agency was wild yesterday, the start of free agency. Not just all the deals that were signed, but of course, Kevin Durant informed the owner of the Nets that he would like to be traded. That would be the professional way to go about things, by the way, is to tell the owner, not just to tweet something or leak something. But that's what Kevin Durant is. He is a professional. Whatever you think of Kevin Durant's career or his choices is up to you. I don't have a problem with them, just like I don't have a problem with him leaving Brooklyn. But I've never really thought of Kevin Durant as a particular team guy. Once he left Oklahoma City, he's, you know, been a rolling stone ever since. I do think his next destination needs to be his last destination, because at this point it is about legacy. It is about putting yourself in a different category of players, of all-time players. And a lot of the critiques that he's received over his career are that he, you know, has commitment issues and that he leaves when things get hard. I don't think that's true. I think he very much earned the right to go to the Warriors. He spent his time 9 years of his career with Seattle and OKC. And he had an absolute right to go and win a championship, multiple championships. And he was the best player on those championship teams and finals MVP twice. But what happened in Brooklyn, when you take a step back, and admittedly, I thought it could work. I thought they might have success. And I've kind of taken a step back from this style of doing things, from this way of doing things. I very much think that culture matters. Now, we talk about Heat culture all the time. People roll their eyes and, you know, how things are done and how much it matters. Well, it does. And when you saw the postseason this year, and particularly the NBA Finals, I think it's very obvious how much coaching matters, how much culture matters, how much ownership matters, how much front office matters, how much depth matters, how much developing players matters. All of it matters. All of it plays a role in winning championships. Everything is important when you're talking about winning cultures. And Brooklyn never had that. And from the beginning, you could see that there was going to be some issues there. We played the clip earlier talking about Kevin Durant and Kyrie talking about how anyone could be the coach. Steve Nash could be the coach one day. KD could be the coach one day. Kyrie could be the coach one day. No, the coach is the coach. We heard reports this year that Kyrie Irving was holding practices after Steve Nash's practices. That's not normal. That's disrespectful. There does need to be some hierarchy. There does need to be some structure to organizations. The Nets never had that. Now, they signed up for it in this situation. And, you know, maybe any of us would if you had the opportunity to get Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving in the building. But you have to have standards. You've got to have boundaries. And we're seeing time and time again that the organizations that do that, the organizations that take care of their stars, but also set a hierarchy of decision makers that put people in place that the players respect, they're having success. Look at the Boston Celtics. They forever couldn't get over the hump. They're just so talented. Why doesn't it work? Why can't Brad Stevens put it together? You bring in Ime Udoka, he changes the team around, and now they're in the NBA Finals. Look at the Golden State Warriors. Had the worst record in the league and just won a championship without Kevin Durant. Just retooled, were patient, took care of the players that were there, didn't panic, didn't freak out, didn't blow it up. It's not that hard to make a good culture. It's really not that complicated. People make it complicated because people are the worst. People are impatient. People are egotistical. They want all the credit. People want power and influence. You see it everywhere, all the time. And we're always confused. Why can't this person make it work? Why can't we figure it out? Why is this not building anything? How is everyone treating each other in the building? What are the standards? What's the culture? When you walk in the building, do you know this is my job? I'm going to do it to the highest level. And if I continue to do it at the highest level, I'm going to be rewarded for that, that it's going to play a role in everyone's success. And I feel good about that. Or are you going into a Game of Thrones situation, which I use all the time, where everyone's whispering and there's leaks and, well, if I do this, will I be able to get that job? And there's backstabbing and all this constant chaos. It's not that hard. Put people in positions of power who are qualified and then hire other qualified people. Treat people good. Empower people. Reward people. I just don't think of any sort of cultural pillar when I think of the Brooklyn Nets. And it's just not that hard to create a good culture. It just isn't. And, you know, we saw through some of these reports this week about how Kevin Durant felt about what was going on in Brooklyn, namely that he felt that the front office didn't try to understand Kyrie. Now, in the front office's defense, I don't know who understands Kyrie Irving outside of Kevin Durant. And at this point, I don't even know if Kevin Durant understands Kyrie Irving. But if you are going to bring in a player like Kyrie Irving, who has a history of things blowing up, who has a history of not being reliable, and you can get the entire scope of how he behaves, because the NBA is a small circle, you can get a full scout on Kyrie Irving. Then you need to act accordingly. You need to make sure that you're in constant communication with him. You need to make sure that you're on good terms with the people in his circle. You have to do that as an organization. You have to know to do that as an organization. This is an example of this is what happened with Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers. That's why I was 100% on Aaron Rodgers' side when he was mad about the Jordan Love pick. You have to know who Aaron Rodgers is. You have to know he's going to be upset if you don't tell him that you're going to draft Jordan Love. How can you have someone in the building for that long and not know how they're going to react to that and not have the wherewithal to have that conversation? So I don't know how things fell apart in Brooklyn. I don't know exactly why. I'm sure we'll find out over the next couple weeks once all of this plays out. But this is an opportunity for Brooklyn to really build something. Be patient. Create something that is lasting. That's what's being rewarded in today's NBA. The Milwaukee Bucks, the Miami Heat, the Boston Celtics, the Golden State Warriors. You're seeing it now with the Mavs. You've seen it with the Suns. Be patient. Build. Develop. Make smart free agency moves. Put pieces around that are qualified. That's what makes sense. That's what works in today's NBA. Pushing a bunch of stars together and giving everybody free reign to do whatever it is that they want doesn't work. You just saw it happen. It's all falling apart. Who knows what's going to happen with Ben Simmons now? You don't know if Kyrie's going to be there. It's chaos, and not the good kind. So if you want to correct things, you've got to build a culture, and it's not really that hard to build. I gave my list earlier of where I think Kevin Durant should end up. My top five, the Heat, the Suns, the Mavs, the Blazers, and the Warriors. All of these teams have trade assets to be able to make this happen. Obviously, my Heat are the number one choice for me. I also think it's the most interesting. I think it's the most win-now situation for Kevin Durant. The Heat are that team that I just mentioned that has a good culture, that has a hierarchy. Pat Riley's not turning this organization over to anybody. He didn't do it for LeBron James. He's not going to do it for Kevin Durant. That's just not how they do things. They have the trade assets to be able to do it. They're plus 500 favorites, according to Fox Bet, right now to land Kevin Durant. And obviously, Pat Riley is an all-time recruiter. That said, the Suns are also on the list. They also have a lot of trade assets that they could use to get him, including up to 4 future first-round picks, which is the maximum. They're not going to move Devin Booker. He just signed a 4-year, $214 million super max extension, so he's not going anywhere. Also, you wouldn't want to bring in Kevin Durant without Devin Booker. Like, that doesn't even make any sense. I love the Mavs. I love what the Mavs are building. I don't know how it works with Luka and KD, but I think if Luka is going to have big time success in the NBA, he is going to need to play alongside another star. So I think they could make it work. Obviously, Damian Lillard wants KD in Portland with the Blazers. He posted that. That was this week. He posted that Instagram story. So Dame was on to something.
Shoot your shot, we said.
Yeah, but he was
shoot
early.
Your shot.
He was early
Maybe
on this.
Maybe he knew something.
Yeah.
Who knows? Nobody knows. Nobody knows, Dame. Did you know?
I mean, he was the only one who was on this.
Yeah.
Remember when we talked about it, I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't think KD's going anywhere. This seems kind of like out of left field. Well, here we are.
And I said,
what,
shoot
3
your
days
shot.
Later.
Yeah.
And
every team take notice. Shoot your shot for KD.
Well, but I'm saying we did not see this really coming, that KD was going to ask out of Brooklyn.
No.
And Dame posting that might be an inclination that he knew that this was happening. Or he just knew, like he maybe has a relationship with KD. We're going to find out more about all of this as the week goes on. We may get some news on Deshaun Watson today or early next week as those hearings have wrapped as well. Thank you so much for joining us, Joy Taylor, and for Colin Cowherd. It's been a fun week. Alongside Alex Curry. Thank you to Brock Heward and Kevin O'Connor for joining us. Matt Leinart is in studio next hour to talk about the USC-UCLA transition into the Big Ten. And coming up, we'll talk more about Kevin Durant wanting out of Brooklyn.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying 4th season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast.
Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.